Welcome to Off-Road Spirituality, where we navigate and embrace the beauty in the chaos of the spiritual growth journey.
Okay, everyone, grab your keys. We're taking this off-road.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Off-Road Spirituality.
Thank you so much for being here. We're excited that you're joining us. We're so grateful for all the support we have received. Lisa, we're about to drop. This is episode 8.
No way. Wow.
I know.
Look at us go.
I know. And thank you so much to all of our listeners. We are so grateful for all of you. We're so grateful for the feedback that we've received. And we have a special shout out today for all of the countries that have been following us. We were so excited when we found out about this. Japan, India, Brazil, Vietnam, Australia, France, Hong Kong, Mexico, South Africa, and Switzerland. We are so grateful to have you here. And we just want to say thank you.
Yeah, huge, huge thank you. We're honored you choose to spend time with us. Mm-hmm. And super excited that what we have to share is getting out into the world, hopefully helping folks.
And today we have a very special surprise episode. It's such a surprise. I don't even know what it's going to be about.
Yeah, so I had just been thinking about things as I do. And I told Loria, I'm like, let's just hit record and just see where the conversation takes us. Sometimes that's where our insightful conversations end up anyway. So, Loria.
Yes.
I've been thinking about, what if there is no such thing as bad or good, but just information? So, like, something happens to me, right? Like, somebody said this thing to me today, you know, and my brain labels it, oh, that was really nice, that was a good thing, or my brain labels it like, that was rude, that was mean, that isn't good, mm-hmm. you know? But what if instead it's just, oh, this person said this thing and my response is information for me to then do something with?
I think that it is a concept that is, I think that if you are outside of the situation, it's easier to label it as just information, mm-hmm. right? If you are inside of it, then that's when the labels are created internally. And it reminds me of one of the topics that we had discussed covering on our podcast, which is, what if there's no such thing as good energy or bad energy? Mm-hmm. What if it just is, mm-hmm. right? And I hear people talk about that. I hear spiritual teachers, quantum physicists, etc., talk about, you know, energy just is. You don't change energy. It's neither good, it's neither bad, it's neutral. And in our community, we go around all the time talking about, ugh, the energy, ugh, it was awful. There, I had to get out of there. I had to go.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I was on the phone with a client this morning, and all of a sudden, I could feel this wave of anxiety coming up from my feet all the way up through my entire body. And I was like, uh-oh. What's going on here? Where is this coming from? This is unusual. mm-hmm. And not even knowing what you were going to want to talk about today, I was thinking to myself in the moment on that phone call, okay, this is information. This is informative. What is this telling me? Mm-hmm. This is one of my very favorite clients. I've never had this experience with this person before. What's going on? Why is this happening?
So cool. Okay, so I love this shit so much. Yeah. So Okay, so what you experienced was a wave of anxiety in your own body, but you knew it wasn't yours. You knew it was in service of this person that you were working with in the moment. And like, what if all of our work as individuals, right, doing the shadow work, looking into our triggers, on our constant quest for a peaceful, blissful life, right, of like, what if we could learn to do that for ourselves? Like, oh, this, you know, it's like, it's our emotions, it's our experiences in the past that like start to color things in our lives as good and bad. And like, what if we can really step into that seat of the observer we've talked about before and just see it? And it's like that Viktor Frankl quote, right? It's between the stimulus and our response is a space. And within that space, I'm going to butcher the quote, but essentially within that space is our freedom to choose, right? Like maybe that's our work as being human beings, or at least some of it.
Well, that's neutralizing the reaction, right?
You know, then we get into like, well, are we spiritually bypassing? But I feel like the answer is no, because you're not ignoring what's happening. It's just choosing to respond to it differently.
Well, it's taking the information, processing it, and then making the decision, how do I respond to this? I have a friend, a colleague, a fellow practitioner. It took me a while to get used to this. She pauses before she speaks in every circumstance. She pauses before she responds. She pauses before she answers a question. Always and every time. Always. I've never known anyone else to do that.
Have you asked her about it?
Oh, yeah. I have asked her about it.
Her, what did she say?
Yeah, when I first got to know her, I asked her about it. And she said, well, I've learned to think before I speak. And I thought, sheesh, I could have used some of that for the last 60 years. Yeah.
Yeah. But is it, I'm curious, is that intentionality exhausting for her?
I feel like it would be for me, and I also feel like it would be a good practice for me, right? I try to be intentional in my, my goal in every situation, in every conversation, in every interaction is to respond, not react, always. Right. It does not mean I am successful.
Oh, find me someone who is successful 100% of the time.
Yeah, yeah.
It's hard to do.
And if I do find myself reacting, I will more often than not apologize, you know, take ownership for it and respond appropriately.
And I'm curious, because I know you've done that with me before, right? Like, I'm sorry if I said this thing and it came across in a certain way. And I think my response normally is, what are you talking about?
Yeah, well, that just happened with us this morning.
It did. It did.
Yeah. You sent me a text. I was driving, about to go into an appointment, and I completely forgot about it, never responded because I went on with my day. And then you said, oh, so sorry if I was insensitive. And I was like, what? What are you talking about? I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's true. Yeah, that is true. And I oftentimes will either stop a conversation mid-conversation or go back to a conversation to the person and say, I just realized what I said was insensitive and I didn't mean it to be. Or I just realized I reacted to this and didn't mean to. And this is why I think I did. You know, triggers will do that too. And the other thing I have discovered, and I remember the exact day I discovered it a year and a half ago, I did not understand how informational, informative, useful triggers are.
Oh.
You know, we all talk about our triggers and working through our triggers. And that's something, you know, we talked about covering in an episode, right? And I realized a year and a half ago, oh, if I'm still being triggered by that, that means there's still an emotional charge there. Right? And mm-hmm. then going back to what you were talking about in the beginning, yes, that's information. Is it positive or negative?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or mm-hmm. is it just informative?
Yeah, the trigger thing's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because I think so often when we get triggered, I should say, many people, when they are triggered, are, you know, look outward. Oh, this person did mm-hmm. this. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, you know, part of that work is really looking in saying, okay, why did I have that response to this
mm-hmm.
thing, this situation? And yeah, that's where the healing starts.
Yeah. I mean, it's good information. Like, I was in a relationship and I got triggered by something. Mm-hmm. And I went to that person and said, hey, this really triggered me. And I could feel them, even over the phone, getting very tense. Like, ugh, what now? And what I said is, and you are not responsible for my emotional triggers on any level. Mm-hmm. I am responsible for my emotional triggers. This is just me communicating. You know, it is our responsibility to recognize our triggers. It's our responsibility to work through our triggers. It's mm-hmm. also our responsibility to communicate with others when we are triggered by something, you know, an external stimuli, and or to communicate, this is triggering me, this is why, it has nothing to do with you, you know, here's why I reacted that way or responded that way or
mm-hmm.
completely shut down or whatever, you know, mm-hmm. whatever it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I also just want to name too is we also don't want to gaslight ourselves either, right? Like if we're, you know, I mean, yeah. in all seriousness, no, that like yeah. if we're in relationships that, you know, feel abusive, right? Mm-hmm. And we're constantly triggered, there is a point where we can no longer be responsible 100%, right? We are in relationship with other people. We own our 50%. They have to own their 50%.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're one of those people who does your own work and is consistently looking inward and trying to evaluate how you're showing up in the world, it's easy, I think, to get into like, well, what else can I change about myself to change this dynamic? At the end of the day, we can't be responsible for other people. So I just don't, you know, I just wanted to name that because it's a slippery slope.
Yeah, I agree. I think you're absolutely right. And you know, most of us learn about gaslighting when studying the art of narcissism and narcissistic abuse, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I learned that term after being in a narcissistic abusive relationship. And it was, I don't know how many years later, that I understood the concept of self-gaslighting, mm-hmm. right? Gaslighting ourselves. So,
talk
yeah.
more about that.
Well, I mean, I think your example is a good one, right? So like taking on responsibility that doesn't belong to us, taking ownership of something that belongs to another person and convincing ourselves that we were wrong or we were responsible or it was our fault, when in reality, that's not true. I know I am very guilty of that. One of my closest friends pointed that out to me years ago. You know, she said, you kind of go to the extreme. You take responsibility for things that aren't yours. You take ownership for more than your 50%. But it's a balance, right?
Yeah.
I'd rather do that than take responsibility for nothing.
Well, right. Well, yeah, because then you become a victim of your own life.
It's true.
Right? Like,
yeah.
You become a passive passenger, right? And all this stuff happens around you and to you instead of you actually like engaging, you know, and making positive change in your life. So,
yeah. But
yeah, it's an interesting place to be in. And I wonder, like coming back full circle to this idea of like, if there's no positive or negative, but there's just information, you know, even in situations that feel intense, we're questioning ourselves, right? Like maybe that's some of the best time to kind of sit back and just notice what's happening, right? Of like, okay, I'm in this situation. I'm constantly triggered. The trigger, of course, does not feel good. So we are going to name it as bad inherently, right? This is how our brain works. We categorize things. But if one could step back from that and say, wow, I'm always triggered. I don't like the way that feels. That's information. And then I get to do something with it.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to getting pulled into that crappy feeling. We're getting pulled into the narrative of the trigger. Oh no. And just thinking about like the insight meditation teachers that I've been able to listen to speak, you know, people like Tara Brach and Jack Kornfield, and just how consistently the messaging is, and just notice that, you know, and how does that feel? And just notice that.
Yeah, I was just having this conversation with my therapist this morning. And yes, energy healers do go to therapy.
Yep. I love my therapist. What a godsend she is.
Yeah, best therapist I've ever had. Yeah, we were talking about this morning, and I was telling her, I was voicing how abandoned I've been feeling in the last several months. And then I qualified it.
Oh, yeah?
And said, yes, I've been feeling abandoned by these individuals and in these ways for the last several months. And these are the choices that I made. So logically, if I made these choices, then these people are not obligated to fill in the blank, you know, with my expectations. And so it's really my responsibility, not theirs. And so basically I was gaslighting myself into saying, you don't have the right to feel abandoned in this situation because of this choice that you made. You can feel abandoned, but really you can't because you made the choice and it's not the responsibility of these other people, even though they promised you these things. You know, like I had it all worked up in my brain about how, yes, this is how I feel and I'm wrong. And she just stopped me. She literally just interrupted me and was like, yeah, no, we're not going to do that today. And you have every right to feel that way. And they did make promises to you and they have not kept them. And of course you feel this way and you have every right to feel these things. You know, it's all, it's like you said, it's all information. It does not feel good. It feels bad. Why does it feel bad? This is information. And you're talking about that space in between, the gap. And then I have the choice. How do I deal with this? How do I respond?
Yeah.
What am I going to do with this information?
Right. And?
I haven't gotten that far. It wasn't that long ago.
Well, shoot.
Yeah.
I thought you were just going to solve all of our problems right then and there.
No, it was, but however, it was very validating.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
I mean, she didn't even wait for me to finish my sentence. She just interrupted me full stop and was like, no, no, we're not doing this.
Bless her heart.
Yeah, I know. And now I go, what do I do? Okay, cool. So it's okay that I'm feeling abandoned, still feel abandoned. Now what?
Well, yeah, it comes back to like, yes to this too.
Yeah. Right?
Like accepting.
Right.
Oh, okay. So when you were gaslighting yourself, trying to like put logic to, well, I don't have the right to feel this way because of these reasons, right? You were essentially resisting the feeling, right? As opposed to just allowing it to be as it is. Like what you resist persists. And so with accepting how you're feeling in that moment, then you get to decide what to do with it. But you can't decide what to do with something when you're ignoring it or pushing it down to begin with, right?
I think both can be true. both can be true. Two things can be true at the same time. So
of course, yeah.
I can feel abandoned, which I do, yeah. And I can feel like I have no right to feel abandoned.
Yeah.
So I'm basically invalidating my experience, my own experience.
Right.
Yeah.
But when you accept the sense of abandonment, does it sort of erase or dissolve that feeling of I have no right to feel this way?
No, not at all.
Oh, okay.
Because part of me feels like this is how I feel, and this person or these people are entitled to, they have every right to not do what they said they were going to do. Mm-hmm. They have every right to not uphold their commitment or their promise to me, right? So then, do I feel entitled to them fulfilling that promise? No. They don't have to. Free will, you know?
Sure.
I have a whole thing going on in my mind that all makes sense to me.
Well, it's just so interesting because
it's Loria logic.
I'm here for it. I totally am. And it's just, it's so interesting to talk about because different people in your situation would end up coming to different conclusions and feeling different ways about things. And I think it's the reflection of where we've all been, right? And like the triggers we each have and the perspective and the lens that we each bring to life every single day, and that we can never know what somebody's thinking or feeling. And so maybe just asking is helpful sometimes.
Sometimes that's hard to do, right?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely not easy. But I guess what I'm just saying is like, we can never really know anybody else's experience unless we ask them, unless we talk to them about it.
Well, and if they're telling you the truth.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. That's one of those things we can't be responsible for.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I learned that. This is such a good point. Many years ago, I would say 15 to 20 years ago, I was talking to a girlfriend who was going on a vacation with her sister and her mother. And something came up. She brought up something about her marriage and something about the trip. And I said, oh, what do you mean? Like, is your husband upset with you going on this trip without him? And she said, well, it doesn't matter because I asked him and he said he was fine with it. So mm-hmm. I have to take him at his word. If he's not okay with it, that's on him because I asked him. And if he isn't honest with me, that's on him.
Mm-hmm.
So all I can do is take the information provided and trust that it's accurate and authentic.
What a beautifully non-codependent response.
I know. This woman is a freaking badass. Talk about not codependent.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I just find this so fascinating. Thanks for sharing the inner workings of your mind.
Of Loria logic.
Loria logic.
So I would like to know, because mm-hmm. truly to our audience, I had no idea we were going to record an episode today, and we were kind of going back and forth. What are we going to talk about? And it was so off the cuff. Like, you know, we do a fair amount of preparation and research and et cetera, preparing for our episodes. And this was so on the fly, like, okay, cool. We have time. What do you want to talk about? And Lisa literally said, oh, I have something I want to talk about. And it was one of those, like, this is one of the times we are on the phone shooting the shit and we go, damn it, why aren't we recording this?
Yeah.
Because we just have these brilliant conversations about, I don't know, all kinds of stuff we'll get into eventually. So I would like to know, where did this come from? What is the genesis of this thought process for you?
That's a great question. I can tell you exactly where I was at in my neighborhood walking my dogs when I thought this and wrote it on our list of potential topics to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember exactly where it came from. I think, you know, I've been I just took a course on neurolinguistic programming, which is fascinating. And we will definitely need to talk about that at some point soon. And part of it was the intentionality of language, you know, labeling things, you know, using words like always or never, right? Like when you were saying you felt abandoned and then you qualified it, I was wondering if you were going to say like, feel abandoned by these people in these situations and not everybody, right? Like clarifying it that way, because so many times we just dive into absolutes, you know, and don't leave room for the gray. And I think the black and white thinking and the labeling of this is bad and this is good falls into that category of like, well, who says it's bad? And is it possible that these labels that we give our experiences cause suffering in ways that we don't necessarily need them to? So I don't know exactly where it stemmed from, but I know it's just kind of was on my mind from that course and paying more attention to the words that people are using around me.
Yeah, I think this is a great example of not only neurolinguistics, we covered quantum physics, covered emotional triggers, and energy being neutral, never changing, not being good or bad, negative, positive. Mm-hmm. You know, you could really get into a pretty deeply scientific conversation around that alone.
Mm-hmm.
And just using all of it as information, which I think if you can maintain that level of detachment, awesome. And that doesn't take into consideration the human element.
Right.
And I always go back to that. I always see there's an absolute. I always go back to we are all human.
Mm-hmm.
This is how we were designed intentionally. And I think it's super, super important. It is imperative that we give ourselves the grace and the allowance to be human.
Of course.
Yeah.
And yeah. None of this was to say any of us are doing it wrong. Just a thought, you know?
Yeah.
What if there were no good or bad? There just is.
Mm-hmm.
What if? Interesting concept to toss around, I thought.
While you're walking your dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And talking to you.
Thank you for bringing this.
Thanks for entertaining my whim today. Appreciate it. As always, it was a fascinating conversation and brought us to places I didn't expect.
Well, that's the whole point, man. Offeredspirituality.com.
Yeah.
That's where we live.
On that note, if you are enjoying the podcast, we would be so, so grateful if you could subscribe, share your favorite episode with your friends. This is how we get some visibility in the podcast world for no other reason but to just continue to spread support and love and kindness across the world. Gosh. So, yeah. And if you have any thoughts, comments, feedback, requests, if you want to get in touch with us, we would love it. You can reach us at our website, offroadspirituality.com, or feel free to email us at hello@offroadspirituality.com. We also have a number that you can text us at. It's in the show notes, so feel free to drop us a line there if you'd rather.
We also just discovered that you can leave comments and reviews on Apple Podcasts. We did not know that because obviously we are just starting out. We have each gotten a lot of just amazing supportive feedback offline. And so many people asking us, well, we wanted to like it, or we wanted to rate it, or we wanted to leave a review. And I think you can leave reviews on Spotify and Apple. Excuse me, you can rate on Spotify and Apple, and you can leave a comment or a review on Apple Podcasts. So we would be so grateful for that support.
Yeah.
Our audience has been amazing. It's only been a month and we're on episode 8 and we're so, so grateful for each of you out there in all of the 11 countries listening to us.
Incredible. Thank you all so much for being here. We love you and we'll see you next time.
See you off-road.